Well, I suppose really the important thing is we're not singling out anyone for that matter. I suppose really it's about are we working within the realm of the law? And there's a code of conduct for councillors. And when I entered the chamber, as do all councillors since 2014, we signed an ethics and register. And on that basis is that you understand exactly the code and conduct of what we as councillors are and can do. And I suppose on that basis is why I again highlighted concerns. And the concerns are, you see, is that we're dealing with a significant amount of public money. And, you know, I put in a motion where I asked for detailed root and branch review. And if you look at since 2014 to 2024, there was 2.5 million. And I suppose really that when you're the responsibility of that, there are rules within and how we perform within the council. And on that basis is why then again, I highlighted a concern.
The discussion largely centred around Councillor Norton and the funding that she had given to Clare Crusaders. What was the concern in her particular case?
Well, again, it wouldn't have been a case of just, say, Councillor Norton. It's to do with all councillors. If a councillor declares a conflict of interest, and the rules which are portrayed within 4.2 of the conflict of personal and public interest, it clearly states that all councillors and certain employees must complete a furnished ethics register annual declaration setting out declarable interests that are maintained in a public register, which I have just highlighted. But more to the point, this is the issue that I would have had, is that if a councillor, the councillor must withdraw from the meeting after disclosure and must not vote or take part in any discussion or consideration of the matter or seek in any other aspect influence decision-making of the council. And on that basis is my concern. And that, again, as I would reiterate within all councillors, where a conflict of interest is declared, the appropriate approach then is to declare that conflict, to leave the room in that meeting and to continue. And in my view, over the last number of meetings that I have been where GMA's allocation, there's been a number of conflict of interest. And the concern that I had is, are we following proper procedure? And that's the concern that, again, I was highlighting today.
Couldn't the argument be made, though, that you often have a case where a councillor is also heavily involved in their local GAA club? Indeed, we have councillors who are chairs of GAA clubs. They advocate for those clubs. They apportion GMA funding to those clubs, and the issue is never raised.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the point I'm making, is that there is no problem being allocated within the organisation as long as it's made transparency clear at all time and fully recorded that there is a conflict. And on that basis, it is also recorded that particular councillor has left the room. Again, to highlight my concern, I do not believe that has been the case to date. So what I'm saying here is that there is nothing wrong with what we are doing. It is, are we implementing what is by the Act? And again, I have reiterated, and it's coming to the stage where I notice that when I bring it up, it's as if that there's an attack on, which is simply not the case. We have to remember is that, you know, up to, say, in the last 12 months, I made the argument in that I felt that we as Ennis councillors were not being able to allocate funds as were our counterparts in the rural area. So, for example, that we're looking at now 49,000, which now can be used. Thankfully, a vote was taken. That vote was successful. And it allowed, enable, say, for me as a public representative in the Ennis Municipality, to earmark organisations that I believe that are very limited resources, and that we can now put that money forward and to be of help. But again, I would have also highlighted is that I would believe a cost-benefit analysis from that money that's given, in that is there a value for money that has been achieved, and to review that on a yearly basis. The key point here is this, and I feel very strongly, is that all organisations are treated equally, that every organisation gets the opportunity. I've had debates in the chamber where at one stage I was told that we do not give money to sporting organisations. I had major difficulty with that. My reason for that is they do wonderful work for young children of Ennis Municipal District and the county, and they deserve funding like anybody else. So again, to highlight is, I come back to the Act, and again, it's not trying to single out. We all are heavily regulated, and it's very important that we also realise that if we do not go according to that regulation, there is a foregoing statutory requirements must be observed at all times, and failure to do so is an offence under Section 181. So I am very much part of that within the role as a councillor, and that again is why I'm highlighting. Are we going accordingly within the realms of the regulations of the Act? And again, I've highlighted, when a situation where in previous meetings a declaration of conflict of interest has been declared and they have not left the room, it is a concern, because to me we're actually in breach of the actual act that governs we as councillors.
A lot of people mightn't be fully familiar with GMA funding, and I suppose put very simply, as I understand it, it's that councillors are given a certain allocation each year which they can give to organisations or groups in their community. So is there really an issue with fairness if every councillor has, you know, the same allocation to give to whatever clubs they choose, whether it be a group they're involved in or a group that they're not? Is that an issue?
Up to now it would have been, I suppose, Sean, on the basis of we were limited that we only were able to allocate 11,000 of that funding. The rest of it was a block agreement that was done for the last number of years, so 10 years. I had a major difficulty with that, and the reason being, as I just said, is if I had an organisation that I believe that was worthy of monies, one that comes to mind is Slaughtonclaw. I think a fantastic group of people up there do wonderful work, and I want to be in a position that I would be able to contribute, which thankfully I was in that position. But again, to reiterate, is that now we have the freedom to do that. There is nobody implying anything, and what I find very difficult is when I ask a certain question, it's like as if I'm poking something, which is not what this is intended. It's simply ensuring that we're working within the regulatory act that has been provided to us. That is the guidance of where we go by. And again, if anyone would know the way I operate, is to the best of the law, to the best of our ability. And the most important thing, and I keep coming back to, my concern is to ensure wonderful organisations are treated equally. The ones then obviously with very limited resources are now getting an opportunity to get some helpful funding. And I think to me that's what the GMA is for. That's what I like to see it to continue. But again, I think it's crucially important. If it's a case that I have concerns and I'm flagging concerns, then is it worthy of an independent review to look at all allocations from 2014 to current date? Maybe that is something that may be reviewed and looked at. The end result of all this is to ensure that the public money goes where most needed, and that to me is very important.
Getting back to Councillor Norton, because the discussion did largely centre around her today. It was, of course, her last day, and you paid tribute to her at the end of the meeting. But she felt, I think it's fair to say, personally victimised by the discussion and felt that there were allegations made. She asked for an apology. Do you believe an apology is in order, and will you be giving an apology?
Well, it's not about an apology, or it's not about anyone being centred. In fact, this is to do with all councillors. This has nothing to do, so I found that a bit strange, because there are conflicts of interest that have been flagged by other councillors, so we're all equal in this. So again, there is no apology to be given when that is not what it was intended. This was ensuring that we're doing our job according to what has been set out in an act. And to me, that is still a concern, and I believe that is equally, we all as councillors have a full responsibility. So there's no apology to be given for doing our job. What we have to ensure, as I keep saying, is the most needy are getting the monies that is there for the benefit of those groups, whoever those groups may be. And again, to reiterate, I paid great, as you well know, complimentary to our two outgoing councillors, Councillor John Flynn, Councillor Anne Norton, over the years of service. I think the work that Anne has done, and it's well known that I'm within the post office, I'm very much into people that are vulnerable, mobility issues, crucially important. I was very respectful, as you well know, with Johnny on the basis of his concern for Ennis and the lack of parking and to protect the sustainability of our town's identity. So we're all on the same boat on the basis of we are all governed, and to do our job correctly is to work within the realms of that governing act. And to me, that's all I've ever asked for, and that's where I stand on that going forward.
Do you think it was unfortunate that the discussion happened today as Councillor Anne Norton is departing? Is it unfortunate that that happened on a day when people were paying tribute to her?
Well, I think it was just happened to be on that day, but it wasn't intent, because it was on the basis of the Sean Lennon actually forwarded us the code of conduct, and it came up under matters arising, and that's the reason why the discussion was had. And again, I don't see any reason of why it could be only that we're here to do a job. And my result of all of this is I felt that it was a good day on the basis that there was a genuine discussion for now, which hadn't been done to date, has been recorded now, is that all conflicts of interest are now being disclosed. But again, to reiterate, and it clearly states within the Act that where there is a conflict of interest, the councillor has to withdraw from the meeting and from the vote. That is simply clear. And my question is not about today's meeting, not about last week's meeting, it's about all meetings that I take part in. And on the basis of is to do our job to the best of our ability. So if there was any offence in any shape or form, it certainly wasn't intended from Tom O'Callaghan. And anyone will tell you that I will do whatever I can in the best and fair and equal manner.
Circling back to the first question, this was raised at a previous meeting, it was raised again today, and it was said by senior engineers and officials at the meeting that they were a bit confused, I suppose, as to why it was coming up again. Is this, for you, the matter resolved, or will we be hearing this again?
I suppose I always find that part fascinating. The only reason it comes up is because people are asking for money. And when you ask for money, my duty of care is to ensure that proper procedures are put in play. And that's why the question comes up. So again, to say to you that if it's a case that there's a conflict of interest has been properly recorded, and that if that particular councillor leaves the room, absolutely, why wouldn't I? And that is all that's been asked in all the situation. But again, to reiterate, if there's questions that we're not happy with, well, that is not intended in any shape or format. If it's an issue that work and or I suppose administration side hasn't been done appropriately, that is not a fault of Councillor Tom O'Callaghan. That's a fault of ensuring that it hasn't been done correctly. And all I'm doing is highlighting concerns, and I think that's a good day rather than a bad day.